This morning, as we're getting settled, you take your Bibles out, if you would. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. As you get to 2 Timothy, I'll be in some various places there. And so I want to encourage you to take that out, and you'll be able to flip here and there, get to the right place. If you have a worship bulletin, you'll want to take that out and take some notes as we go along this morning. As we've already mentioned already today, that it is a special day as we recognize those graduating from high school. It is a very important time in the lives of these students, and it's definitely one of great transition. It's as if somehow we magically think that because they've graduated high school, that now that they've become full-fledged adults. I'm not really sure that's true, but it's definitely a time when they begin to grow up and experience much more responsibility and individualism. And to me, one of the more challenging aspects of this time is that as these graduates enter a phase of more independence, they face the reality of deciding what is true. To this point in their lives, much of what they have believed about many things has been greatly influenced by their parents. But as they begin to establish their own identities and lives, they have a greater tendency to question the things that they have been taught. And this can be amplified when they go off to college and face sometimes opposing views to what they have learned from their parents, or at least as they are challenged in the academic world to question what they believe. In other words, there becomes in the life of students in this phase of their life this big question about what is truth? And it's really a question that all of us faces today. What is truth? And so I want us to look at this idea of learning truth because truth is so important. In fact, I don't know if you know how important truth is, but if you believe the wrong thing, there's just going to be a lie in your life. If you believe that, it can be great harm to your life. In fact, I've had this philosophy or heard this philosophy before, and it's a horrible philosophy where people say, it really doesn't matter what you believe, you just need to be sincere. Anybody ever heard that before? It doesn't matter what you believe, just be sincere. I got news for you, folks. That's a dangerous philosophy to live by. For example, back in September the 11th of 2001, Islamic extremists flew planes into the Twin Towers of New York and the Pentagon in D.C. with other targets intended. Why did they do it? Because they believed that they were serving Allah. And by doing what they were doing, including dying, that there would be waiting for them in paradise, a harem of beautiful young women to experience bliss with for all eternity as they saw the very face of God. In other words, they did what they did because of what they believed. And because they believed a lie instead of the truth, many innocent lives were destroyed or changed forever, and they found themselves instead of in paradise, in an eternal place of torment. You see, I hope you understand this morning that truth is important. In fact, folks, listen, what one believes will have an immediate effect on one's life now and then for really all eternity. You see, here's our problem. It is that it can be difficult to know what truth is. You know, in the past, things like a Piltdown Man and the Neanderthal Man were put forth as the missing links in the evolutionary chain of mankind, only later to be discovered that they were frauds. For centuries, it was believed that and taught that the Earth was the center of the universe, only later to be discovered that the Earth and other planets revolved around the sun. And on, we can find examples through the ages of how something that is believed to be truth is discovered later to be a lie. You see, truth can be difficult to know. So let's ask ourselves, what is truth this morning? There is a foundation for truth. There has to be a foundation for truth. And thankfully, we are told what that foundation is. In John 17:17, Jesus was praying for his disciples. And he prayed this. Look at what he prayed in John 17:17. He said, sanctify them in the what? Truth. Your word is truth. See, first he said, sanctify them in the truth. The word sanctify means to make holy. Sanctification is God's work in our lives to transform us or to change us into the people that we need to be. This really reminds me this morning, if you need a change in your family or you need a change in your life, then if you need a change of any sort, then the place to find that change is in truth. Because God changes you through His truth. God transforms you through His truth. Folks, listen, we cannot be properly transformed through a lie. Only truth can transform us properly. So where is this truth found? Jesus didn't leave this to our imagination because He went on to tell us, sanctify Him in your truth. But He went on to say this, what? Your word is truth. In other words, hear me when I say, truth is found in what? The very word of God. Now, I know today that the Bible has had its critics. There have been people through the ages that have questioned the truth and the authority of these scriptures. However, here's what is amazing, that the Bible has continued to exist in spite of the fact that it has been attacked like nothing else. People have come against it and tried to say it wasn't true. They tried to come against it and say it has no authority in life. But though it has been attacked, it continues to survive now centuries and centuries later. Why is that? Because it is God's Word, and God has worked to protect it, and God has worked to promote it through the generations, and He will continue to do it as long as time exists. In fact, I like what James McDonald said about those who say the Bible is lacking. He said, no, the truths of the Bibles have satisfied the greatest students in human history. The skeptic with little or no knowledge of the Scripture is not even capable of framing a question about the Bible for which there is not a fairly simple and easily accessible answer. Don't ever let someone make you cower in your confidence regarding God's truth. For the most part, those who persistently question the Bible are not doing so because they object to its veracity, but rather because its message cuts to the very heart of their condition and points to a God who calls all into account. The Bible is truth. Amen. I love that statement, don't you? Let me say, simply put, this is what he's saying, folks. If students are going to face the future correctly, then they need to know God's truth. If parents, grandparents, married without children, single adult, and even children are going to face the future correctly, they need to know God's truth. In other words, no matter who you are today, you need to learn God's truth. In fact, maybe I should put it to you this way. Let me just state it this way. You need to build your life upon the truth of God. Do you want a foundation for your life? Do you want something to build everything in your life upon? It is the truth of God's Word. Now, if you were to ask me, okay, Brother Scott, how do I build my life upon God's Word? I got 3 points for you this morning I want to share. And the first one is this. Be diligent about knowing truth. The Apostle Paul was writing to the young pastor Timothy, and he said these familiar words in 2 Timothy. You have your Bibles open. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but who rightly handles the word of truth. Now, some translations use the phrase be diligent instead of do your best, but the meaning is clear. Folks, a person must work hard to know truth. You know, today we live in a world where we want everything given to us with as a little amount of effort as possible. Can I hear an amen? Isn't that the world we live in? In fact, when it comes to information or so-called truth, we like to get most of our information from where? The internet. And why? Because it's so quick and it's so easy. You can go online and in a few minutes get information on just about any subject or current event. Here's the problem is, we accept everything we read at face value. And people often do not take the time to learn what is true, what is false. In fact, one of the funniest examples of this is a commercial. It's a State Farm commercial, Neil. Hey, amen, right? State Farm, right? State Farm commercial, y'all have seen it, right? This young lady is sitting there talking to one of her friends about all the stuff she's learned off the internet, right? And then this other guy walks up and she introduces it as her new boyfriend that she met on the... And she introduces him as a French model, right? And two things are pretty obvious. Number one, he's not French. And number two, he's definitely not a... Right? The lesson is... Right? Y'all have seen that commercial I see, right? There's a lesson that's very clear about that. You don't believe everything you learn on the internet. Amen? But see, we want it quick and easy, and so we don't decipher. And when we think about that, folks, we have to know. We have to decipher what is truth. In fact, all the time I receive these emails, urgent email, right? I get them all the time about something. Somebody's passing on some information I need to know. Sometimes it's about a supposed scam. Sometimes it's scathing news about a politician or a company. The only issue is, many times the things that gets forwarded to me, the people never took time to see if they were true or not. They were sending it to me as true. You need to read this, but didn't take the time. Where if they just spent a little bit of time doing a little bit of digging, they would realize that what they sent was completely untrue. There was not truth in that. But we want all the time something easy, and so we absorb it, never taking the time to see, is this true or not? Can I just tell all of us here this morning, folks, listen, finding the truth can be hard work. And if you're going to build your life upon the truth, you've got to be willing to put the work in, especially, folks, when it comes to the foundation of truth, the Bible. It takes some hard work. Let me encourage you. Don't let people spoon feed you the Word of God. Don't just let some preacher stand up here and tell you something and you just soak it all in and say, hey, that's truth, and you just take it and say, I believe everything he says. You ought to be willing to question everything that I tell you. And you be willing to do the work to say, is he lying to me or is he telling me the truth? I'm going to tell you, I put in a lot of hard work to try to preach every week the truth. But you ought to be checking me out, because if I share something that's not true, you ought to be coming to me and telling to me that I've told you something that's not true. Same is for a Bible study leader. Listen, you shouldn't just take it all in. What you should do is put the hard work in to say, is that true or not? In fact, if you say, Brother Scott, I'm willing to do hard work, but I don't even know where to start. Let me just give you somewhere to start. Every week, in the worship bulletin, I put an outline there, do I not? And in part of that outline, I give you every scripture that I quote every week, do I not? I write it in there. Well, if you want a place to start, why not try this? Every week, just sometime during the week, say, I'm going to check this preacher out this week and go back, read every verse that I quoted, read verses before, read verses after, read it in context and say, is this preacher shared with me truth or not? And then say, well, listen, he did share me truth, but is there even more than I can learn as I read this in context? And you'll discover, folks, listen, when you get into God's Word, you will say, hey, this Word is powerful. And you'll see this truth can really change my life. And that might be a place to start. If you want another place to start, get in a Bible study group, get in a life group, and get in there. And then when you do, don't do this. Don't just say, every week I'm going to go and say, what's the teacher have to say for me this week? Isn't that what so many people do? They want to go to a Bible study. They want to go to a life group. And life group teachers will say, amen, that's right. And then they get under your set and they say, just give me something. I want to hear. I don't want to put any work into this. You tell me what I need to know, right? Y'all not saying amen to that, right? But that's what you shouldn't do. You should do the work beforehand. What's my lesson next week? Oh, the teacher says this is what we're doing. Or I've got a book. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to read the scriptures before I go to class. I'm going to be prepared so when we get in here, we can discuss. And together, you know what we can do? We can find truth. I hope the point is clear. How are you going to find truth this morning? How are you going to build your life on the truth? You have to work hard. You have to be diligent. In fact, let me go ahead and make this plain. To be diligent. Being diligent requires personal effort. No amens on that one? Where's all my life group teachers? Say amen to that one. All right, thank you. Thanks, Pam. We got to be diligent. If all you ever do is rely on someone else to feed you the truth, you are not being diligent. You know, I've heard many things in the past quoted as scripture. I've heard things like the Lord helps those who help themselves. God will not put on you more than you can bear. Or godliness is next to cleanliness. I've heard all those quoted in scripture. Anybody else ever heard those quoted in scripture? There's only one problem. None of them are in the scriptures. None of them. Now, how do you know that? You read the scriptures yourself and you know what's there and what's not. Amen? Right? You got to do this. So put in. It can be hard, but you have to recognize how important this is and said, I'm going to do the work. Now, let me quickly make a couple of sub-points to this, because if you want a family that is godly, then you need to know the truth. And to understand the kind of spouse you're going to be, man, you need to know the truth. And if you know when difficulties come, if you want to know what decision to make, you need to know the truth. So you got to dig in. But as I encourage you to work hard to know the truth, let me give you two quick things to remember. And the first one is this. Don't get caught in meaningless arguments. Okay? Listen to what Paul said to Timothy back one verse in verse 14. He said, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearer. Now, here's what some people do. Some people spend all their time arguing issues that have no answer and really amount to nothing. Have you ever noticed that? For example, if you put it in the theological realm, there's some people that want to read the Word of God, and then what they want to do is they want to debate about the end of times. They want to know exactly what it's going to be like when this world ends and all that. I got news for you. I've read my scripture, and I've got a few ideas of what might happen, but I have no idea what it's going to be like when the Lord comes back. All right? So let me just go ahead and tell you something. If you want to argue with me what the end of time is going to be like, I got no time for it. All right, going to make it just plain. I don't have time to do that. Here's what I will talk to you about, though, how you can make sure that you're ready. Because what's important is not do I know all every detail of it, because I can't discover it. Jesus even said that only the Father knows the time that the Son is coming back. So why should I even try to pretend to think I can know the answer to that question? Amen? I don't have time for those arguments, but let's talk about what does matter. Do you know you're ready when the Lord returns? I've given my heart to Christ. I've been saved. Eternal life is mine. I'll talk to you about that, but let's not get in those meaningless arguments, okay? Information, for argument's sake, is no good. In fact, if I put it into the family, let me ask you, how many times in your family have you had trouble in your home because you were in the middle of a meaningless argument? Amen, right? How many times do we get in a home and we argue over things? Maybe, I know, guys, y'all like me, sometimes I misspeak. Y'all ever misspeak, guys? And my wife gets mad. That's not what I meant, right? Well, let's not argue over what this word meant or this didn't mean. Let's get to the truth of the matter. Here's the truth. Here's what I really meant, dear. Let's get this all settled out, all right? Let's not argue. Let's not get in a meaningless argument here because it doesn't matter. I stuck my foot in my mouth. I'll confess. But let's just get to the truth. And when we get to the truth, we're going to be all right, right? Let's just not argue, though, for argument's sake, but how many times that it does. So we ought to dig for truth. We ought to stand for truth, but not get in meaningless arguments. Now, with that, I'd also say this, though. Be willing to accept what you find. Okay? We're not going to get in meaningless arguments, but what we are going to do is when we find truth, we're going to accept what we find. See, let's assume that you take the challenge to work hard and find truth. Well, then what will you do with the truth you discover? Will you accept it or reject it? Listen to these words. Timothy wrote probably a page or two over, 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. None of that sounds familiar, does it? All right. Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins, and led astray by various passions. Now look at verse 7. Always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Can I read that again for you? Always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. The NIV translates the last part of that verse, never able to acknowledge the truth. Now, here's the reality for some people. Ready? They study, they discover the truth, but are never able and really willing to acknowledge the truth. In fact, you want me to tell you something that's frustrating to preachers? Do you? Well, shake your head this way anyway, right? I'm going to give you something that's frustrating to preachers. The people who have spent their entire lives in church, heard thousands of sermons, all right, maybe even sat through thousands of Bible studies, only for it to have made no real difference in their life. Why? Because they've always learned, but did what? They never accepted and acknowledged the truth. They may have learned truths, but never really put it into practice. It never really sank in. For example, I know many people who have heard many sermons on forgiveness, only to be some of the most unforgiving people you'd ever want to meet. Amen? Y'all know those folks? I've heard people who heard many sermons on serving, yet they've never served in their life. I've heard people who heard many sermons on Jesus Christ and needing to be their Savior and how He loves them, how He died for them, only to have never given their life to Him. Why? Because they let truth come, they heard truth, but they never came to the knowledge. They're always learning, but never accepting. And trust me when I say, that's frustrating to a preacher. All right? Now, here's the reason that so many never arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Is what Paul said first. People are lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, and the list goes on. In other words, some people are content to go on living life as they please rather than letting God have His way in their lives. And I want you to know today that if you're really going to be diligent about knowing the truth, you must be prepared to accept what you find and adjust your life accordingly. In fact, I wonder how many families today would be better off if they accepted the truth that they know. They let it sink in. You think any families would be better? You think any families that have learned what it means to forgive would be better off if they practice forgiveness in their home? Amen. Amen. Thanks, Roy. They would be, right? If they heard messages on patience and being patient, if they would be patient in their home, you think any families would be better off? Amen. We would. But what we do, we've learned the truth, we've heard the truth, but what didn't we do? We've never accepted the truth. We've never come to a knowledge of the truth. In other words, it's never sunk in. So let me tell you today, listen, don't just be diligent about studying the Word. Make sure, all right, make sure that you also put that into practice in your life. Now, as I move on this morning, let me go on and make the second point. If you're going to build your life upon the truth of God's Word, you need to be diligent, all right, about knowing the truth. But number two, you need to be this. You need to be willing to gently correct those who are wrong. Listen again to Paul's word as he goes on in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Now focus first on the word gentleness. If you decide to live by truth, you can be assured of something. Hear me. If you decide to live by truth, there will be opposition to you. And the first thing that you can do to combat opposition to the truth is just to deal with those in opposition with gentleness. You see, in our home, sometimes the opponent is a spouse or a child or simply someone who doesn't see things your way. That's to be expected. We are encouraged, though, to deal with those in opposition with gentleness. And I must say, at times, this can be hard to do, but still, it doesn't lessen God's call in our lives to be gentle and not quarrelsome with everyone. However, folks, being gentle does not mean giving in. Notice it says you have to correct those who are in opposition. You cannot just go with the flow and accept someone opposing the truth, especially in homes where we're raising our children. You cannot simply let children live, believe lies and live by those philosophies that are not true. You have to correct them. And notice this passage states, you have to teach the truth. Now again, keep in mind, before you're able to teach truth, you must first have had to know truth and to have accepted the truth into your life, then you're able to teach others. Here's too often what I see with Christians, all right? Trying to make others believe a truth that they haven't yet applied to their lives, or trying to make others live by certain truths while not realizing that they've not yet begun to live by other important truths in their life. It doesn't work that way, folks. Teaching truth starts with, guess what? It starts with who, if you're going to teach truth? You. It starts when you know the truth and you live by the truth. Don't ever try to make someone else know the truth or live by the truth until you haven't first accepted it. Then when you are willing to accept it and apply it to your life, the Bible says you can correct those who are wrong and you do it gently. And here's why. When you gently correct with truth those who are wrong, you are partnering with God. Look at verse 25 again. Correcting his opponents with what? Keep that word in mind, and look what happens when you do that. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. In other words, when I gently correct someone who is wrong, I'm partnering with God, because God might then do what? Lead that person to repentance and them coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's why I make this point. You ready? Don't try to bring conviction in a person's life. That is whose job? All right? This is a good point, so get it. Let me read it again. Don't try to bring conviction in a person's life. That is God's job. See, if you teach the truth with gentleness, if you understand it is not your responsibility to convince someone of the truth, then you can teach it with gentleness and relax. See, God wants us willing to teach truth and stand up for the truth, but we don't have to argue truth in order to convince someone of the truth. Here's what we have to do. We have to allow God to do the convincing in a person's heart. You know what? There would be many less arguments in homes. Y'all can say amen when I get down to this too. There'd be many less arguments in home, in workplaces, wherever people simply stand for the truth, if we would stand for the truth, share the truth, and then let God take over. Let God take over. You can be assured, if you are simply arguing a point until someone comes to your side of the matter, you are more likely to get in an argument than to help someone come to know the truth. Y'all get the point? Was there an amen on that? I got news for you. If you're trying to stand for truth and it's led to an argument, you're in the wrong. All right? Because how many does it take to argue? All right? If I stand up for truth, somebody doesn't like it, that's fine. If I share the truth, then what I can do is I can be quiet, because then I can say, God, it's your time now. I shared the truth. I stood for the truth. Now, God, you do the convicting. If you're going to convict our heart, it's going to be you, God, not me. So I'm not going to argue the point. Amen? Our homes would be better off if we would do that. All right, parents, we probably need that with your kids. Sometimes just speak the truth and leave it, because they'll argue with you about everything. Amen? I got 14 years in the house. I know all about it. All right, I'm going to try to learn, kids, do better just about stating a point than just dropping it. All right, I'll try. But let me tell you, folks, listen, don't you try to do the convicting work, because that's not your job. That is God's. Amen? All right, so let's stand for the truth. Now, one other thing this morning, if we're going to build your life on the truth, it's this: be focused on relationships that allow truth to be taught. Paul obviously had a lot to say to Timothy about truth. I'm just scratching the surface this morning. You need to know that. However, some of the more important words are found in 2 Timothy, this time chapter 3 again, verses 14 and 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. Look at that. Knowing from whom you've learned it. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now let me say, Timothy was already a believer, most likely. Paul was writing to him who had accepted the truth. And as he says this, and hold on to that truth, which is make you wise for salvation, it reminds me of this, that ultimately God has given us truth for the purpose of leading to faith in Jesus Christ. Why is knowing the truth so important? Because ultimately, what does God want from us? He wants us to know who? Who? Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Amen? Isn't that what he wants? He wants us to know that. But when I look at this and I think about this, Timothy says, hold on to that truth that you've learned. Here's the question I have. Who did he learn it from? Because Paul made an interesting phrase. He says, knowing from whom you have learned it. The phrase is interesting to me, and it reminds me that, listen, that most of the truth that we learn from people we are in relationship with. All right? Go ahead and put that slide up there, Jacob. All right, I think I skipped a little bit there for you. All right, look at this. Most of the truth that we learn from people we are in relationship with. Where did Timothy learn this truth from? Who did he learn it from? 2 Timothy 1:5 says this: I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in who? Your grandmother Lois, and then in who? Your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Where did Timothy learn his truth? He learned it from his mother and his grandmother. Most people believe, according to Acts 16:1, that his mother had been Jewish and become a believer in Jesus Christ. But his father was a Greek and was a non-believer. But through the close relationship of his mother and grandmother, they taught him God's word, God's truth, and Timothy believed in Christ. And though we don't know fully what this relationship was like, here's what seems clear: that Timothy's mother and grandmother were the ones who had a close, loving relationship with Timothy that allowed them to have a great influence over his life. See, let me say something to everyone here who is interested in sharing truth. Are you interested in sharing truth with others this morning? Standing on the truth and sharing truth? Are you interested in that this morning? Yes or no? Well, if you are, let me share this. Sharing truth begins with a relationship of some sort. And the closer and the more loving the relationship, the greater the influence. Do I need to say that again? The closer and the more loving the relationship, the greater the influence. If you desire to positively influence your child or your grandchild or your niece or your nephew or maybe an aunt or an uncle or a mother or a father or sister or a brother, your influence begins with a relationship, which tells some of you before you try to pass on your beliefs, you need to first work on the relationship. If you are harsh and mean and distant and unloving, to name a few, don't expect your desire to share the truth to go very far. Amen? You need to first try to be loving and kind, involved, forgiving, and patient to see if a relationship can be developed which will allow you to influence those that you desire. Now, I should also go ahead and tell you this for all of us here. This principle includes every relationship, even those outside the home. Any of you here want to share the truth with a coworker? I hope you do. You know where it starts? With you developing a relationship with them. If all you ever are is mean to them at work, distant with them at work, do you think you're ever going to influence them? No. How about you got a classmate you want to influence for the Lord? Listen, it begins by a relationship. Are you developing the relationship? Any of you got any fellow church members you want to share the truth with? Don't say a big amen to that, all right? But maybe. It starts as you develop a relationship. And this is what it says. You ready? It says, focus first on the relationship. If you are a person who just barrels in trying to share truth and are not concerned what anyone thinks, or if you don't care who you hurt along the way, then you're not going to be very effective on teaching others truth. And since truth is so important to our lives, we're going to want every opportunity to share truth. So we're going to want to concentrate on building relationships. And parents, for some of you this morning, and we had a huge set of graduates this morning getting ready to go off to college, many of them going in different directions. Here's what you'll discover. If they have a strong relationship with you, and you have a strong relationship with your children, even when they go off to college, you will remain a strong influence in their lives. But if there's not a strong relationship, guess what? When they go off to college, you think they want to hear from you anymore? No. They got their own ways. They're going to do their own things. So I'm telling you, concentrate on that relationship. Now I'll close with this. Jesus made a very important statement in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And if you know the truth will set you free." Now, why this morning do we need to be diligent about knowing the truth? Why this morning do we need to be willing to gently correct those who are wrong? Why this morning do we need to focus on relationships that allow truth to be taught? Because the truth sets people what? Free. All around us are people bound by things of all sorts. They're bound by addictions. They're bound by hurts. They're bound by lies. They're bound by confusion. They're bound by selfishness. They're bound by so many things. But the answer to their freedom of all those things is the same. The answer is truth. Know truth. If they know truth, they can be set free. And if we can help another discover the truth, then we can help them be set free. So it says to all of us today, what do? We build our life upon the truth. This morning, individually, what do? We're diligent about knowing the truth. Because remember, we can't help somebody else know the truth until we first know what? The truth, and build our life up in the truth. So we say, hey, we're going to be diligent. But we're also going to be willing, when we discover truth, what we're going to do? Gently correct those who are wrong. And be willing to do that. Not getting in meaningless arguments. You know, not doing things that we shouldn't. But we're just going to come out there, and we're going to share the truth, and let God do the conviction. Amen? And we're going to build upon truth by starting first by building what? Relationships. So I can share that truth. Let me ask you today. Are you building your life upon truth? If not, today is the day to start. Maybe some of you need to come and just say, Lord, I'm coming to you to this altar to say, I've not been diligent about knowing truth. And God, I'm going to start today. I want to know you where. I'm going to dig in deeper. I'm going to do what Brother Scott said. I'm going to take the outline home, and I'm going to look. I'm going to find a spot where he was wrong so I can tell him. Right? That's fine. You go do it. If you've done it this week, I'll be happy. My sermon did its point because you dug into God's word. Amen? I'm going to do that this week. Or some of you are going to come, and you're going to stand for truth this week. And you're going to go out there and be willing to stand up at home or maybe in your workplace, say, here's what the truth of God's Word said. This is what I've discovered. I'm going to stand for it. And you're going to share it, not arguing, but being gentle and just sharing it, and then let God take over and do His work. Maybe it'll transform your home. Or others this week, you just need to go back and say, you know what, I got a distant relationship with my children. I'm going to work on that before. I'm not going to try to share truth with them, because I can't share truth until we're closer. And you just work on loving them, being kind, and just getting to know them better, building that bridge so you can share. Or that coworker, that classmate, you're just going to go this week and say, Lord, what I need to do, I need to start building a bridge. I need to start building a relationship because I want to share your truth. Because, Lord, they got some things they need to be set free from. And I know your truth to do it. So, God, today I want to build that relationship. Lord, would you help me? You see, there's a lot today, but I want to know, are you building your life upon truth? If not, today is a day to learn truth. Learn it. It'll transform your life. Will you bow with me this morning? Our Father, as we come in to this time of invitation this morning, Lord, we just ask now even that, Father, you just take over. I'm reminded, Father, that even as I share about us sharing truth, and as I've shared truth this morning, Lord, that it's not up to me even to convict. I've shared the truth, Father. Now I ask this morning at this invitation time that you take over. Father, there are things that people need conviction of. Lord, maybe again, their need to be diligent. Or maybe their need to stand for truth. Or maybe to build a relationship, Lord, whatever it is. Maybe it's to see some useless arguments they've been having. Father, that they would just leave that to you to convict and not themselves think they got to argue their way into a conviction, Lord. I pray today, whatever you've spoken to hearts, whatever you've spoken to lives, that now, Father, you would come and you do that conviction. And so as we come to this invitation time, you take control. And Father, if there's a need that needs to take place this morning, maybe a commitment that needs to be made, I pray folks would come, kneel at this altar, make that commitment, or come and seek prayer, whatever, Lord. But at this invitation time, you take over, you lead lives, and I pray we'll simply respond, Father, as we're responding to your truth. So bless this time, Father, I pray. And as I pray these things, I pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.